earth all that we have need of. Lord, that fountain of the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. Lord, we just ask that you would speak to our hearts this morning, that you would bless each one that's listening in, Lord, that's here, that's across the seas, Lord. However they would hear your word, Lord. That, Lord, that you would just give us each one revelation. Give us, Lord, of your presence. Give us, Lord, to recognize, Lord, that we're sitting now in heavenly places in Christ. And, Lord, that you are the one that is feeding your children, Lord. That that there's a great love affair that's taking place. And, Lord, may you just have your way now as we ask you to take the furtherance of this service. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. We greet you in the name of the Lord. We're happy to be here this morning, and we're glad to see each one. We just thank the Lord for every opportunity we have to come together. And I want to say I appreciate the messages Brother Boomba brought, and I certainly was blessed by those things. And I seen some things, some of the things even that we had been talking about, I seen them just in a greater way. And so I actually want to pull a few of those quotes, but I won't, not this morning, but as I get to them, it just really was striking to me when he was bringing that the expression of God, the manifestation coming through the church ages. And we know, you know, Brother Branham talked about it many times, talking about Luther and Wesley and Pentecost, what each one did. But sometimes when somebody says it just a little bit different, amen, it just makes it a little bit more real. And so that's the beauty of God being a God of variety. And so he helps us through each one. Each minister has a way. And so we had the privilege yesterday of speaking on the capstone group and ministering to the brethren there. And I found out that Brother Brian, I guess you talked to him, Bennett, that he's going to be coming for the meetings in Theka. And so I think there will be quite a few coming from different countries. I think Brother Rohan is planning on be there. So we was just glad to hear that. Glad we'll get to meet some of those brothers in person that we've talked to online for a long time. And so I think it's going to be a great blessing. And so now this morning, I want to pick up where we left off in the message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And we, I think the last paragraph we read was 189. And then I'm going to pick up on paragraph 190. And I'm sorry, as Brother Michael sending that stuff out, is popping up on here. And I tried to turn it off because I knew what was happening. But I couldn't get to the settings of WhatsApp to turn off the notifications, but I just muted anyway, so that'll at least not make the noise as it's popping up. Anyways, I appreciate Brother Michael. My computer that I've been using for last few years, it broke. It was here. I left it on the pulpit one day, and Anna was... I say that she comes and preaches, but it's not necessarily, I think she's teaching. I think she is coming and teaching as a school teacher, but she liked to come here and she'd stand here and she'd just talk and carry on and just do. So one day she didn't know I'd left my computer here, and she was letting it down to her height, and it fell and it broke. And so so I got another one. Brother Michael's moved everything over to the new one today, and I'm really liking it. And so I thank the Lord for it. And so now, paragraph 190, if ye abide in me, the word, who is me? The word. If you abide in the word, my word abide in you, then you ask what you will. Now, that's the word of God, and it's either true or it's not true, and we believe it's true. And so he's telling us, if you're in me and I'm in you, you're in the word, then you ask anything You ask anything that you want, that you have need of. You ask anything. See, ask what you will, anything. But now after he says that, I want you to hear where he goes with this idea of ask whatever you will. Whatever you will. Ask whatever you will. Now watch where he goes. Because you and the Word are the same. That's the reason you can ask whatever you will, because you and the Word are the same. So you just ask whatever you want to ask because you're the same. You and Him. You're in Him. He's in you. You're one and the same. I'm in the Father. The Father's in me. See? He has the preeminences. Now, He's telling you ask whatever you will because He has the preeminence. Right? Because He's in full control. You can ask whatever you want to. Jesus asked whatever he wanted to, and he did nothing except what the Father showed him.
Amen. That's right.
And that's you. If you're the Word, if you're the Word, you're in the Word, and the Word's in you, it's exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
You ask whatever you want because he has the preeminence, because he's in full control. He's got the rulership.
Amen.
See? He's not worried about you going out and doing something wrong and getting the wrong thing and asking the wrong thing. He knows that he's got the full preeminence in you and you're going to be led by the Spirit. And then he can speak and he can tell you what to do. He doesn't stop there. He goes another step. You're a prisoner to him. Huh? You're a prisoner. So whatever he wants, that's what you're going to speak. That's what you're going to want to say. You and the Word are one. You become one. See, the world is dead. That's a thing that's got to be. And that's the thing we want. We know at the new birth, it's dead. But we know that as long as we're in this flesh, it's a daily battle fighting off those things, fighting off those thoughts, fighting off the things you're looking at, fighting off every day resisting those things. He said, resist the devil and he'll flee.
Amen.
And if you don't resist, you're inviting him in. See, you're a prisoner. The world is dead. You have nothing more. You see the rest of the people living the way they do, but yet you do not do it. Now, that's a thing. Somewhere there's a letter out there somewhere, and I had it. I used to have it handy, and I don't know what happened to it. But it was a letter they found that Brother Branham had. I don't know if he wrote it or he got it somewhere. When you read it, it is really powerful, and it's talking about maybe one of you have it or you know about it, but it's talking about him or a believer being able or not being able to do what you see other people do.
Yeah.
You see other Christians doing things, and you see other believers doing things, and you see this and they're at liberty to go this way and don't condemn them. And they go this way and don't condemn them. But you can't. There's something. There's something that won't let you do it. Even though you can't say they're wrong or whatever. But somehow or another, that thing that's in you is holding you. And not allowing you to go do that. It's something that God did. You were talking to somebody yesterday and was talking about being condemned, and actually it was I remember it was Chico. We were talking, and we were talking about Brother Branham said, women don't have that, they don't blush anymore. Used to you could embarrass a woman. Now what it was is I was talking to a woman on the phone the other day for a customer, and she's a vendor, and. And she just went off into explicit foul language, just telling me this and that. And I'm just like, this is a woman. This is a woman. You know, and I work with a lot of men. Of course, they know me, so they don't talk like that. But this woman's first time we talked, and she just went off and was talking about the work and what she didn't want it to end up doing, and took F words to explain all that she's going to do and don't want to happen. And I thought, there's no blush anymore. There's no humility anymore. There's no, it's rare to find that anymore.
Yes, sir.
And so, it's just, there's no, it don't condemn them.
Yeah.
It doesn't condemn them anymore to do those things. And so it's just come to a place of real filth in this last day. My yoke is easy. See, you're yoked with Him. My yoke is easy. Yoked with Christ, with His Word. I do that only which pleases the Father. And if you can't believe that I am He, then believe the Word. So perfect, see? Notice. That's right. And now, when I hit this scripture, I just wanted to go look at a couple of things. And so, as I normally do, I get a little bit sidetracked. And I'm not apologizing for it because that's where I feel to read. And so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read a quote here in Spiritual Amnesia, and then I'm going to read a quote somewhere else. And Brother Branham hit so many different things. But when we get back, when we go, as we get down, when we get back to Christ, the mystery of God revealed, he's talking about how Christ was being revealed all the time. All the way through every one of those types, every one of them. And if we go back, especially back before the seals in the early messages, Brother Branham spent a lot of time in the Old Testament, and he was talking about those types, and he was talking about those characters and how that they were expressing Christ and the things that it represented. And there's so much. It comes perfectly in line with what was going to happen. And he said they had no idea. They had no idea what they were doing or how that what they were doing was a negative to the positive that was coming. They had no idea that what they were saying and expressing was pointing to Him. Amen. And to what was going to manifest and what was going to express when He came upon the earth. Amen. And so, but all the time it was happening. Every bit of it. And as you read these things, as I'm reading these things, it's becoming more real to me, where Brother Branham said, if you don't see Him in every verse, yes, every verse of the Bible, if you don't see Him there, then you missed Him. You missed the whole thing. Go back and read it again, because He's right there. He's right there revealing Himself all the time. Right. And so that's where he's going to point some of that out as we get into the next message. Spiritual amnesia. And there's a lot. You know, I could have read a lot out of this message too, because he talks about being identified. He said, you were identified. You are identified in Moses. He said, you were right there with Him. You were with Him. You were in those prophets. You were with Christ. You went to Calvary with Christ. You were identified right there. Everything that He is, you are. And so it comes all the way down. You're identified today. You're identified today. Christ on the scene. When He was in that prophet, you were right there. You were right there identified in that. You can't get away from that. You must be identified with St. John, the 14th chapter and the 12th verse. He that believeth with Me, the works that I do shall he do also. Don't forget it. If you do, then you've got spiritual amnesia. Don't forget it. As I was ministering yesterday, we come across where Brother Branham was talking about the Father's business. Jesus, 12 years old, standing there, said, I must be about My Father's business. He said, what was the business? What was the Father's business? It was to manifest. It was to manifest the promised word of the day. And that's exactly what the Father's business is today. We are manifesting. What the prophet manifested, he manifested Malachi 4. He manifested John 14:12. He manifested St. Luke. He manifested Revelation. He manifested those things. What are we manifesting? We're manifesting the same thing. All that He brought to us, we are the expression of that very word, the very promise of this day. It can't be nothing else. It has to be that. See, don't forget it. If you do, then you've got spiritual amnesia. And another thing this made me think of, there's never been a time on the face of the earth when there is so many diseases and sicknesses of people losing their memory and losing their mind. And you can attribute to a lot of different things, but it's in the food, it's in the medicine, it's in the all of the different things that they're given to the people. And there's no way that they can stop it. You'll find a doctor here and there that doesn't want to go that way. He wants to go natural. And they can be ostracized by the whole system. They can be rejected by the system because they're standing, they're not taking you into that. Most of the doctors, and they have a fear. Those doctors have a fear if they don't take you into this way of pills. If they don't take you that way, then they can get in trouble. And so they put them under that pressure and they just become puppets to the government, to these big pharmaceutical groups that are making billions and billions of dollars. If you read, there was a time that I remember, this was several years ago, where I remembered when I was a kid, you would come to a main intersection in town. I was living in California, and there was four gas stations. That was a thing back then. Cars was just getting started, it was just boom. Everything was booming because, the cars had only been around for, 30, 40 years. It was all new, and it was getting priced right where everybody could have one. The same thing, you see it in Kenya when it came there. There was a time that only the elite had it or the government had it. And then all of a sudden, everybody started having a car. And so that's how it was. And there was four gas stations on every corner. And so I can remember traveling several years ago, and this has been a long time, that I went into a town and there was four drug stores. Yes, instead of four gas stations, it was four drug stores. Mm-hmm. So there was like CVS and Walgreens, and I can't remember the other one, used to be real big. But anyways, there was all four corners. And I thought, how can this be? How can they stay busy? And now every store, like you go to Walmart, every store has it. You even go into the supermarket, they can have a pharmacy too. Everybody has a pharmacy now. Why? Because it's just trillions of dollars. It's not billions anymore. It's trillions of dollars. And so there's no way that they can back out of it now because it's too much money. That's the whole thing. People know it's wrong. They know it's wrong. The government knows it's wrong. The politicians know it's wrong. But they're bound by the dollar. They're bound by those things. And they can't get away from it. That's what separates the bride. There's only one thing. There's only one thing that binds the bride. And that's the word. Yes, sir. It's the word. And she's willing to let everything fall. She's willing to let everything go. When it comes to the word, that's where she stands. That's where she's obligated. That's where she has to be. See? This spiritual amnesia. And that's the more deadly. That's the more serious one, I know. But it's sad now. Because people now don't know. And it didn't used to be this way. And you get in these other countries where they haven't come as far as we have. It started there. It's in its infancy there. In every one of them, it's there. And so that's why I told you when I first started going, I watched. I watch. I read the labels. And I walk in the supermarket, I read the labels. When I first started going there, one of the first things I looked at, India, Kenya, was juice. 100%. Every single one of them was 100%. Now go in there, you got to search for the 100%. Now there's many of them now. They're blends. They're a percentage. Why? It's there. The corn used to be 100%. Even in Kenya now it's not. Now it's a hybrid. But it's only touched a little bit, but it's going slowly, slowly, slowly. That's how they bring it. They don't do it all at once. You won't accept it like that. You have to be given it slowly so it's your advantage. So you think it's helping you. You think this is the best thing because this is helping me. This is how it is. This is growing better. It's more resistant. It's more this. It's more that. And then after a while, they just keep getting it more and more. And you don't question it after a while. You don't even read the label anymore. Matter of fact, if you went around to every farmer in Kenya and you talk to them, they probably don't even all know it's a hybrid that they're even using. They would believe they have 100% pure, no hybrid at all. But it's there. Even in its infancy, it's there. And that's where it's at. Every country, it's there. Its only problem is, here, it's way past infancy now. It's in its maturity. And it's in its worst, its final stages. It's in the worst of it. If you talk to Brother Goomba, and we're not far removed in this nation right here. How many old people that are at death, when they come to death, and Sister Esther, the same thing, that they're 100% still in their right mind. Brother Groom, is that right? Most. You don't have all of this Alzheimer's. There's some there. I know it's there. But it's not as bad because it's in its infancy. It's still way down. But it's coming up fast because the money's coming up fast. The people are coming up fast. It's all coming up fast. They quit buying at the market. And that's one thing that amazed me. Also, I'm sorry I'm talking so much about Kenya. I hope it's okay. But it amazed me when many times I go to the supermarket there, and like in Kaungori, and I'm in there, and I'm watching all these people come in, and there's just lines and lines and lines. And I'm watching them buy the fruits, and I'm watching them buy the vegetables, which is very uncharacter-like for them. Because just 100 yards over is the market. Is the market there that they can buy all these vegetables for half the price. That's where they've been buying it all their life. But there's something now that's attracting them into these supermarkets. And it kind of baffled me, and I thought, why is that? Is it the convenience? That's what got us here, where we're at. It's the convenience. Everything's in one place. You get it all. You don't have to go to the market for this and go to this section for that and go somewhere else to get this. They can get it all right there. It's just like Walmart. Some of their supermarkets are just like Walmart. They got clothes. They got household goods. They got automotive goods. Everything's there. And so there's a convenience to it. But you're paying for that convenience. And so they know what they're doing. They know how to do it. But my point was, you watch those people, they can be 80, 90, whatever age, 100 years old, and still be as sharp as a tack. Why? Because they haven't had this junk. They haven't been given all of this junk. My grandma lived to 99 and a half, and she did everything for herself until she was about 96. Between 96 and 98, we had to start helping her. She was a little bit forgetful. She'd take a nap, and she'd think it was morning, and she'd take her medicine again. But that's pretty good. She was very, very sharp. And so, but you watch now. My mom's 10 years younger than that, and it's starting to get her. She's starting to lose her memory now. And it's her short term. She still remembers everything else and can talk to you. But you watch. If it keeps going like that, is that exactly what Brother Branham said about the menopause and the women? He talked about where his mother went through it. Then he come 10 years, that's where his mother went through it. Then he said the next phase there, and then he brought women all the way down to 20-something years old. What was causing that? It's the same thing. It's the same thing. And look at it in the spiritual. This is where Satan has succeeded. Exactly what Satan has done in the natural is exactly what Satan has done in the spiritual. It's where he's got the people. And he's got them just little by little by little until they don't even think they're doing anything wrong. They don't even realize. They don't even realize that where the problem is. Can you be identified there? See, I think I'm in the right place. Let's go back up. Are you identified? Let me just start over. He said, if you abide in me and my word in you, you can ask whatever you will and it'll be done for you. Are you identified there to believe that is the truth? Mark 11, when he said, if you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you have said will come to pass, you can have what you said. You say, brother, how can that be? Just like he said, when he has the preeminence, when you're yoked to him, when you're a prisoner, when you surrender all to him, that's when that can happen. That's when that will happen. That's when that'll be 100%. You'll speak it and it'll be. Because you are being moved by him. You're not being moved by your intellect and by your idea and by your emotion and by this and by that. No, you leave it right there. Can you be identified there to believe that that is the truth? If it hasn't, then you're getting spiritual amnesia. And see, you forget. You lose your Christian balance. Huh? Your what? Your Christian balance. Remember, the Christian is in the middle of the road. The bride's in the middle of the road. We're not too far this way, not too far that way. Not going with these other groups. See? You forget. See? You say, I'm a Methodist. I'm a Baptist. That's what I know about it. See? I'm Pentecostal. I'm this, that, or the other. Watch out. That may mean the disease is showing on you, that you've got some spiritual amnesia. Huh? Watch out. Watch out for those things. Don't be doubting the word. Brother Branham asked a woman one time in the hospital. He said, they were going to pray. And she got upset. He said, are you a Christian? She said, I'll have you know I burn a candle every night. And he's like, what has that got to do with anything? Have you ever read any scripture in the Bible talks about burning a candle? Is that there? No. He said, ma'am, that's not what I ask you. I asked you if you're a Christian. He said, we are Methodists. We are Methodists. He said, well, he said, if you, I can't remember how he said it, but it was basically, if you're a Christian, I'll leave the curtain open. If you're not, I'll close the curtain. She said, close that curtain. Close that curtain. What? Putting him out. Putting the word out. They don't want the word. No. There's something about the word that upsets them. There's something about the word that disease is there. They don't know. Have you ever got around somebody, and this isn't too often, but have you ever got around somebody that as soon as they got in your presence, you feel like they don't like you? You feel like there's something they resent about you, especially you women, when you're dressed the way a Christian dresses, and they look at you. And I've seen this mostly in women, worldly women, that it's like either they pick up Christ's spirit, or they see how you're dressed, or you've said something that offends them spiritually, that because they know that you're identified with Christ. And so they're offended by that. And so they immediately put off a vibe that they don't have any use for you. This is in Jehovah Jireh, paragraph 57. Imagine, and this, when I pulled this quote, it was the same scripture. I was pulling the quote to go with the scripture that we opened with. And so then he said so many good things here. I just wanted to throw them out here. I may have maybe I can skip some of it, but maybe I can't. Paragraph 57. Imagine what a time that was. After waiting for him for 25 years, and God having made him destroy, see, the only thing that he had testified about through the years. Can you imagine? He'd been testifying of this for 25 years. And the people thought he was crazy. And now what are they going to think of him now after 25 years of testifying that he's going to be the father of nations and that God is going to give him a son and he's too old and Sarah's too old and now he has it and now he's going to kill it. Can you imagine what the carnal mind does to that? Can you imagine what that even does to the believer when it's never been done before? What God wants to put you in a place, in a position, where you have to rely on Him because your senses cannot figure this out. Abraham couldn't figure that out. He couldn't know what it was going to be unless God just revealed to him exactly. And we know that He said, "We'll go, and we'll come again." So there was something He knew. There was something He knew. But God leads you. And he doesn't always tell you. And the prophet is a prime example. And the prophets were prime examples. God leads you many times and doesn't tell you what he's going to do. And you're wondering. And you're concerned. And sometimes you're afraid. And your emotions and your feelings and everything can just go into stress. See? He was reproached among the people, laughing at him And here God says, destroy the very thing that's going to give you the only hope you can if my word's going to be fulfilled in you. Huh? This is the thing. This is the thing that's going to fulfill the prophecy that I gave you, that you're the father of all nations, and it's coming to this boy, because you already proved that it wasn't the other one. So now it's this one, and now I want you to go kill him. I give you the boy. He's 12 years old. See? They've all recognized him. Still made you a father of nations. But you go kill your boy. Now, that's the same age that Jesus was when he stood there in the temple. And he stood and he said, I must be about my father's business. I must be about it. Could you imagine that? God just showing up, showing us, no matter what anybody says or anything contrary to that word, refuse to look at it. See, the real seed of Abraham believes that. And that's where we're at. That's where the bride is at. You're going to stand on the word, whether you understand it, whether you see it exactly how it's supposed to be. Brother Branham said, you'll be quiet. He said, you'll have thus saith the Lord, or you'll be quiet. You're waiting for that. But you're not going to deny it. That's the difference. I've seen people so many times over the years. As soon as you tell them something that's controversial or something that's unusual or something that's different from the modern idea, they get so upset. It can just blow them out of the water. But it's because they don't know it's the voice of God. But when you know it's the voice of God, you don't have that anymore. You wait. You get quiet. How many times can you remember somebody telling you something and you get quiet? You just get quiet because you don't know. You don't lash out. You don't begin to fight. You get quiet. You wait on God. You go to the message. You go to the prophet. You go to the voice. And you find that thing. You ask God to reveal that thing. There's a difference. Destroy that son. And Abraham laid him upon there. You can imagine taking this little curly hair and rolling it back out of his face, and his little brown eyes looking up like that, and his little lips quivering. See that big bladed knife come down of his father, see? Think of a father that laid his little head back and pulled his throat back so he could stab him through the throat with his knife in obedience to God. Make that real. This wasn't a vision. This wasn't just something. This was real. He walked for 3 days. Think about that. He walked for 3 days knowing what he was going to do. 3 days he traveled with his son, knowing what he was going to do when he got on that mountain. He knew what God had called him to do. Can you imagine the torment that would be going on inside the carnal realm, in the carnal realm? How many people could do it? How many people could do that? See? No matter what it looked like, he said, I received him as one from the dead. God's able to raise him up. He raised back the knife and started, and the Holy Spirit caught his hand. Praise be to God. And he said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I. He said, stay your hand. I know that you love me and trust me now. Seeing that you would give your only son. Isn't that something? Do you think God didn't already know? Huh? Did God already know his heart? Yeah, he is, because he's the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God already knew what he was thinking. God already knew whether he would do it or not. It wasn't there to prove it to God. God already knew it. Same thing. He knows everything. Just like Nathanael, when he came and he said, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there's no guile. He knew what was in that heart. He expressed what was in that heart. That's right. And by hearing it, it brought him to it. And here, what Abraham had already seen brought him to it. It had to be expressed. Yeah. It had to come to manifestation. Praise be to God. Now that's the thing that hit me the other day when Brother Goomba was talking about Christ. And he was talking about this day that we have come, redemption being over. That's what he was talking about. But that was the expression through the seven church ages. That was God manifesting the Savior, manifesting what he was. And so that was the full expression of it. You say, well, he was the Savior all along. He was always, yeah, he was. But that was the expression in its fullness. And then when that ended, he had something else. He had something else that he wanted to express. And it wasn't that. It wasn't that no more. No, that was finished. I'm going to have to change the settings here because after just a couple of seconds, it's closing on me. And it's opened every time. Okay, we're back. All right. See, and now, and just about that time, there was a ram hooked by its horns in the wilderness behind him. And I want to ask you something, brother, sister. Where did that ram come from? You're back there 3 days' journey from civilization in the wilderness, where there's lions and jackals and all kind of wild dogs and beasts and things back there that would kill that ram right now. Huh? You let a sheep get loose out there in the wilderness, any animal would take it right then, right away. And look, he's way up on top of the mountain where there's no water. And he'd pick up rocks all around there making his altar, and the ram wasn't there. But when God needed one, there it was, see? And it wasn't a vision. He stabbed it, and the blood run out of it, and it died. Amen. Praise God. Now, I want to read this. I added two quotes after I sent out the quote. So this one, I'm going to read just a little section of this, is in the message, Earnestly Contending for the Faith, in 1954, and it's paragraph 43. If God disrespects fundamentalism, then Moab was just as right as Israel. Because both, here stood the royals all around and the dignitaries of the country, standing around these smoldering sacrifices. The bulls was dead, the rams was dead, the clean sacrifice speaking of sanctification, the ram speaking of the coming of the Lord. So I read that just for that. Just for that one sentence there, that this thing that was taking place represented the coming of the Lord. That's what the ram represented. And that's what's coming. You go back, and I didn't have time to go back and refresh myself on all the sacrifices that come there. But they come. The ones that come, he'll go on to talk about Christ being born in April, which was the time of lambs and not in December. And so, but he's showing here that the type is perfect, that the type is absolutely perfect, and it comes all the way through. And so it's speaking of Christ. That whole thing, everything that was being done, it was speaking of Christ. Back to Jehovah Jireh, paragraph 60. God spoke it into existence this minute, and Abraham took it out of existence the next minute. See? Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide for himself a lamb. Impossible for the ram to be there, see? If anyone knows about sheep in a jungle and in the wilderness like that, and there where all the wild animals and savage things back in there would kill that ram right now. It couldn't have existed back there, see? And here up on top of the mountain where there's no water and no grass and nothing up there, and he wasn't there a few minutes before that, and just at the moment that God needed the ram, there it was. He spoke it into existence. Praise be to God. Amen. That's exactly right. And he's going to go on and talk about that some more. And but I'm going to, this is my other quote that I added in here. This is in Seven Compound Names of Jehovah in 55, paragraph 39. Now, the first thing, he was 3 days' journey from civilization, about 100 miles. Then the next thing is way up on top of the mountain, where there was no streams to give it water or food upon the hill. And here, impossibly for a ram to be up there. First thing, it's too far back out of civilization. And the next thing is on top of the mountain. And Abraham got the ram, untied his son, tied the ram, offered the ram as a sacrifice. And notice, it wasn't a vision. Blood poured out from the ram. What was it? God in a type spoke Christ into existence. What was it? God in a type spoke Christ into existence. The ram took his life. See? He went out of existence just at the same time. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. No matter when God's took at his word, God is there to meet his word, Jehovah Jireh. Amen. Praise be to God. And that's what it was all. He was providing. He was providing for Abraham as he's provided for the bride, as he brought the Gentiles into this thing. And that was a great promise. That was a great prophecy, was even to bring the Gentiles into it. Back to Jehovah Jireh, paragraph 61. Now, just like he had appeared to him down there, Elohim, he needed a body to come down to earth in. So he just gathered up the cosmic light and the petroleums and so forth, and he stepped into it. See? He's God. And that's the way he'll do you. Brother Guma talked about this also the other day. After you're no more than a spoonful of ashes in the dust, he'll still speak and you'll be there. See? He'll call your name and you'll answer. The seed of Abraham, that promise fulfilled. That's right. Notice it was a ram. And if you've got just a minute longer, I'd like to explain this. See? You know, the other night I left it alone. I never explained it to my church. And you remember when he confirmed that sacrifice, confirmed that covenant to him. He'd taken a she-goat, he took a heifer, a she-calf, and split them in two, and he took a ram. And watch where he goes on this. Remember, the type is perfect. The type goes all the way through, and he even brings it to speaking into existence, speaking us into existence. See, the promise was fulfilled. I'm sorry, let me back up a sentence. Remember, it wasn't a she, it was a he. It was a he. The promise was fulfilled. Notice a ram, he. To meet the word, he is the word, that ram, not she. See? They were offered first, remember, Genesis 15, the she. See? They was the first one down. Then he took a ram. The ram was the last. He, ram, the provided word, not the she-goat. See, the organization, the church. What does she represent? She represents the church. She represents the organization. Not the she, the church, but the he, the ram. Amen. We're not looking to she, the church. We're looking to Christ. We're looking to our husband. Well, and that's where in this age it's so perverted. And it's of all of the lesbians and the gays and all of that, and it's all mixed up. And that's what's wrong with people. They're looking to the church. And they've been for 1,000 years looking to the Catholic Church. They look at the Catholic Church beyond the Word of God. To them, that's greater than the Word of God. But to the elect, it's the Word of God. And so even more so now, because it's been fully revealed. It was just in part there, and it was all mixed, and it was a mess. But there came a time that he promised he was going to reveal this thing completely. He was going to open it all up and make it known. And that's where we are. And that's why we're blessed. That's why we're privileged to be in this time. And that's why the prophet said, this is the golden age. This is the greatest time. We're blessed to be right here. See, that's the reason. That's the reason he was born in April and not in December, as the Roman church put it, the sun god's birthday, and put it up with his there on the 25th of December when the circuses was going on. See, If you study the history of the church, then you understand that they put it up there to make, see, it was the sun god's birthday, the solar. And when it stopped almost still, see, there's no change in it for 5 days. You know, the sun is constantly changing day by day, just a little. But for these 5 days, it stays right there. It hangs there. I think they call that the Yuletide. Is that right? They call that Yuletide. So from December the 20th to the 25th. And they put the Son of God and the Sun God's birthday the same, compromising Christianity with paganism. That's what it is. And they were coming, we're coming into it now. We're only a couple months away from it, or coming into it. And you look now, Brother Branham said in the 60s, back there in the 60s, he said there was stores. He talked to a shop owner one time that was telling him, he said, I make all my money at Christmas. And he said, the rest of the year, he said, it's nothing. He said, I just keep the doors open to keep my help and keep all that. And said, then he said, we make it right there. What is it? See? And it's come to the place that people start accounts just for that. And they run their credit cards up and they go in debt and they spend the whole year paying off what they just spent. It's a trap. It's a trap of the devil. That's where people get in this, especially young people. They get, I remember when I first got married and we didn't have money. And we couldn't get a credit card. And there were some things that you needed that you couldn't get if you didn't have credit. And so when you don't have no credit, then you're tough. And so when you have a lot of children in America now, we're not used to doing it by hand. So that was the big thing. And I can remember when we couldn't get a credit card. I remember when we first got one and we got it at Sears and Roebuck and we bought our first washing machine. And that was the thing that we needed, and that's the thing we've been wanting for a couple years, that we couldn't afford it. I mean, we couldn't even afford a washing machine. And so, and even then we had a washing machine, we hung everything out to dry. And you know what that is in the wintertime, you hang it out to dry and it's frozen. It's just hanging out there frozen. And we didn't have these diapers like they have today. They were cloth diapers. You washed them and you hung them out to dry and you reused them. They didn't have this throwaway stuff. And so that tells you I'm old too. But we come through that, But I can remember what a privilege it was when finally Sears gave us a credit card and we went and we bought a washing machine and it really helped the wife. It was a blessing. And especially with that many children and that many diapers and all of that. I'm sorry, I keep losing it. It's going off and now it's staying off longer than it was. Okay, I'll try to keep touching it here so it won't go away on me. All right, see, he's talking about this compromising of Christianity with the pagan holidays and said it couldn't have been born on December the 25th. See why? It's snowbound. Mountains up there in Judea. He was born like all lambs are. See, he was born in the springtime. And he had to be born under the ram. See, now he's bringing that on now. See, that ram. Because he was a ram. And the ram was April. Exactly. He was born under that ram. And that's what he was. He was God's ram. That was him up there that took Isaac's place. Amen. That was him up there that took Isaac's place. It's perfect. It's perfect. And that's the thing that Brother Branham is bringing through this message, Christ the Mystery of God, that he was revealing himself all the time. All the time he was revealing how he was coming and how he would come, exactly how he would do it in every type and every shadow. He was doing it all the time. There he was. That was him up there that took Isaac's place. See? Don't you see it? There it is, shown here plainly. The royal seed bride will not be called by the she, church, denominational she-goat sacrifice. No, but by him, the manifested word of the ram. Praise be to God. Not being called by the church, not being called by she, we're being called by him. We're being called by our husband. We're being called by our creator, by our father. Amen. Amen. For he is the word and the ram. See? He said not called by her name, but called by his name. He'd take a people out of the Gentiles, not for her name, but for his name. Would bear his name. Oh my. What are you afraid of it for then? See? A Gentile would bear his name, the ram. Not her name, the church. Not she, but he. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise be to God. The royal seed would see it, see? Can't you see Malachi 4 coming to pass? Restored back to the original faith, the word of God. Surely you people can see that. He won't have to make it any plainer. We won't have to make it any plainer. Let that denomination go, men. Get back to that word. And the voice of the last day, see? And the sign of the last day is to swing the people back to the original faith. Malachi 4. See? Malachi 4 said so, back to the word. And he is the word, see? Not her, him. Amen. The name of the Lord Jesus. Praise be God. The vindicated word now by the promise. The word that promised in St. John 14:12. Now here's where you finally get to the scripture, and you can see what I added all of that because I wanted a couple of places just to bring that scripture in. See, the works that I do shall you do also. Malachi 4, the same thing he said there, also Luke 17. Notice now, what was the Father's business? To manifest. What was it to manifest? The word of the age, not the word of another age. As I said yesterday, it's easy for people, believer, unbeliever, nominal or message, it's easy to say that the word of Noah's day won't work today. It's easy to say that. It's easy to say that if all the believers got together and they started building an ark, if we all put our resources together, the people, they know that's not going to work. No more than trying to do what Moses done would work. But the hard place is when you bring it right up, side by side, when this message has to go and this message is coming on. This one's going away and this one is increasing. That's what happened in Paul's day. That's what happened in Jesus' day. This that they'd had for thousands of years was now going to go away, and this new thing here now was beginning on. And that's what causes the great painful divide in the people's mind. And that's why it's so hard today. That's why it's so painful today. That's why people are trying to hang on to both of them, because they don't have a revelation that this one won't work. So if they don't have a revelation and they see something over here, they know it's great. They know that it's a marvelous thing that God has done in this day. But they don't have the revelation to let go of this that has been here for 1,000 years or 2,000 years. So they try to hold on to both of them. Or they just stay back here. That's the difference. That's the difference in the elect. The elect is able to let go of that and to walk with God. Is able to walk in the revelation. Is able to go about the Father's business. Is able to do that which he was put here on the earth to do. See, the vindicated word now by the promise, the word that promised in St. John 14:12, works that I do shall you do also. I know I'm repeating here. Let's go down. Luke 17 tells us that in the last days, the manifestation of the world would be set exactly in order like it was in the days of Sodom. And God would come down, manifested in human flesh, and would know the secrets of the heart. Jesus said that thing that would take place in the days when the Son of Man is being revealed at the end of the world. And you I'm going to go ahead and tell you where he's going here. He keeps bringing this down. So he took it from Abraham, and he's bringing it down to Sodom now, and he's fixing to go to John the Baptist. He came through Christmas, and he still has it all tied together. He's still perfect, and he's fixing to go to the days of John the Baptist. And he just brings it down, threads it right down, just perfectly. But just watch. See? God would come down manifested in human flesh. And that's what he did in the days of John. It was God in flesh. And would know the secrets of the heart. And Jesus said, that thing that had taken place in the days when the Son of Man is being revealed at the end of the world. See, it's not the church. Join this and join that. It's come to him. That's what it is. Not her, it's him. Not she, he. See, that's what Abraham's seeds got there, the sacrifice offered. Instead of his literal seed, what about his spiritual seed? Amen. His royal seed, the queen seed. Praise God. Oh, if you could just see it. Remember, what is it? It's flesh and spirit uniting. Brother, sister, that's what he's been after all the time. All the time is to get in man. God and man becoming one. God taking full preeminence in man. See? It's flesh and spirit uniting, coming one. Look at Matthew, the third chapter. Here was flesh, virgin born, Son of God, coming down out of the city, walked out to John the Baptist, and there he was standing in the water. The Bible said the word of the Lord always comes to the prophet. See? Is that right? The word comes to the prophet. And John was the prophet. They hadn't had a prophet in hundreds of years, but here he was, a prophet standing there. He was prophesying that Jesus would come. And he'd been out in the wilderness and said he had seen a sign, and God told him that sign would be following that Messiah when he come. Think about it now. He's saying that the word comes to the prophets. And every one of those prophets, the word came to the prophets. Is that right? The word comes to the prophets. But now here is something different, because the word, when it comes to this prophet, the word is in flesh. It's already in flesh. But by God's law, the word comes to the prophet. So it didn't matter if he was in flesh or he wasn't in flesh. The word come to the prophet. And that's what takes place. Exactly what takes place. See? He's standing among you somewhere. Now, there's one among you whose shoes I'm not worthy to loose. He'll be made manifest one of these days. And when he does, then I'll decrease and he'll increase. That's right. Did our prophet tell us the same thing? John's prophecy did not say he's coming one day. John's prophecy said he's here now. He's standing among you now. He's among us. Right now, he is among us. Amen. Brother Branham said that the seventh angel will be standing on the earth when he comes.
That's right.
Right on the earth.
Yes.
That's right.
Amen.
That's it. I'm telling you, people, the millions and millions and millions that don't believe he's come, they need to quit. They just need to quit believing the message.
Yep.
Because he lied.
Yep.
If Christ is not here, he lied.
Yep. That's right.
Amen. He'll increase. He happened to look and see that sign. He said, here he comes now. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But he's seen it. He's seen him. He's seen the sign. He's seen everything. The old Baptist preacher, Dr. Davis, that baptized me into the fellowship of the Baptist church, he discussed that with me one time. And he said, you know what happened there, Billy? I said, no, I don't, doctor. He said, here's what happened. And I'm just thinking, this is theology. This is intellect. And then the word's going to come to the prophet. That's right. And he's going to reveal what happened in that day. Here's what happened. John had never been baptized. And he said, John baptized Jesus. And then Jesus turned around and baptized John. Reminds me of a man I was witnessing to when we first come up from Florida. I was working over here in a mobile home factory. And I was witnessing, and it was all men. It was like 200 men, most of them young guys in drugs and everything. Just their whole life was partying. And there was two or three of us Christians there. And so, I was talking to him. Back in those days, we were baptizing. So I was talking to him about water baptism. And he said, that's not even, I can't remember how he got off on it, but he was talking about the eunuch when he went off. They got out in the desert, and he said, here is water. What doth hinder me? And so he baptized him. Is that right? That's what the Bible says. He baptized him. And so he says, well, you know there's no water in the desert. He couldn't have baptized him. He said, it's just spiritual. And I'm like, I'm saying, no, it says, here's water. Here's water. What doth hinder me? And he baptized him. And he said, and so some preacher had told him that there's no water in the desert, so that it's just spiritual. You don't have to be baptized. And I'm like, hey, people will just believe anything. And I was just like in disbelief. Just in disbelief. And I'm sure Brother Branham's here thinking, okay, what is it? It doesn't say that here. It doesn't say that. I have need to be, he said, I don't know about that. So he told Brother Branham the story, and Brother Branham said, I don't know about that. So I kept praying about it. And one night in a vision, what's happening here? The word's coming to the prophet. See, here's what it was. See, Jesus never baptized John. But watch, he said, I have need to be baptized of thee. And why comest thou to me? And Jesus said, suffer that to be so. Watch them two eyes, the two main men on earth. There was God, and here was his prophet. And the word come to the prophet. Praise God. If the word's in flesh, it'll go to the prophet. Huh? And if it's not in flesh, it'll go to the prophet. It'll go to him by vision. In our day, it came to him lip to ear. It came. It was there. See? The word comes to the, if it's in flesh, it'll go to the prophet. No matter where it's at, it'll go to the prophet. It's got to go. The Bible said so. See? And here come. He was the Word. Paragraph 69. He was the Word. And in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's right. And here come the Word to the prophet. Right out of the water to fulfill and vindicate his prophecy. Amen. Here he stands there. See? And there, them two eyes met one another. One was the prophet. The other was the word. And John humbled before him. He said, I have need to be baptized of thee. Why comest thou to me? Now, you know, John saying what he's saying, it makes sense to a theologian. A theologian says, yeah, I have need to be baptized of thee. So why wouldn't Jesus baptize him? That's what happens with intellect. It surmises an idea. And I'm not talking about this great IQ. I'm talking about you don't have to have much of an IQ to intellectually have intellectual faith.
That's right.
You don't have to. You can be really smart and do it, or you can be really not smart and do it.
That's right.
Just because we identify intellect, it doesn't mean it has to be a high intellect.
That's right.
It can be a very low intellect and do exactly the same thing.
Yes.
And you can be sure there's plenty of old country bumpkin redneck preachers that do just exactly that.
Yep.
They preach it and say it just how they want to say it. He said, I have need to be baptized of thee. Why comest thou to me? He said, suffer that to be so. For thus it is becoming to us, behooving us, see, to fulfill all righteousness. And John, being a prophet, and knowed that word, because the word come to him. He know that, see, that was the sacrifice. And according to the law, the sacrifice had to be washed before presented. It's exactly, see, he baptized Jesus because he was the coming sacrifice. Before he could go to his public life, he had to be baptized, see, because the sacrifice must be washed before it's presented. Amen. He baptized him, and when he did, he went straight away out of the water. And he looked up and he saw the Spirit of God like a dove, and a voice coming from it said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am pleased to dwell. God and man become one. Praise be to God. That was it. That was the first of this new creation. God and man becoming one. God incarnate in a veil of flesh. Amen. And what is God today? What is it today? God incarnate. God living in veils of flesh.
Amen.
Veils of flesh that were redeemed. Veils of flesh that will die. Veils of flesh that we would die.
Yep, that's right.
The living God, the eternal God, the eternal Spirit coming into those veils and living. And what does it do? It changes the nature. It's a soul change. And when it does, that man who used to like to smoke and drink and carouse, that nature's not there no more. No. It's not that God's holding him back from. It's not that he don't have it now. He's not fighting it. Like the woman I told you about that gossiped all the time. She said, before she'd tell a story, she'd say, I know he's going to whip me. And then she'd tell her story. No, not that. No, your nature changes. Your nature changes, and you don't want to do it anymore. You don't have the desire to do it anymore. That's the difference. You take somebody that... Let me just go. Paragraph 70. Adam and Eve was one at the beginning. Now, this is the same thread. This is the same thread coming all the way through now. See, Adam and Eve was one at the beginning. And when he separated them, she fell. Because of the word, she missed the word. She fell. So has each church age fell like that on account of misinterpreting the word. Letting the interpreter, Satan, interpreted it to Eve. That's right. Oh, surely that couldn't be right. Surely these all can't be, see, this can't. Oh, yes, I know, surely, see. But if God said so, that makes it so. It ain't no surely to it. You must be born again. You've got to receive the Holy Ghost, either that or perish. That's right. It's either, it's a life. That's the difference now. Brother Branham said, this is the token age. This is the time now. There's nothing else is going to work. Nothing you can do except be born again.
Amen.
Notice here, he come, and Jesus and God became one. They united. Like in Eden, where Adam and Eve was, in the beginning, the same spirit. And their names was called Adam. See? He was both Adam and Eve together. And you know, as long as they were like that, there wasn't any problem. Because he couldn't be deceived. He was made in the image of God. He couldn't be deceived. There's nothing he could have done to deceive him. But Eve, they had to be separated because Eve was predestinated to fall. She was predestinated to that. Because that's the only way that God could display his attributes. But God knew that there was coming a bride. He knew that every bride was going to fall. But there was coming a bride that could not fall. And why did Brother Branham say that she couldn't fall? Because she was predestinated not to fall. And what did Brother Branham say the mystery was? When we started in this message, Christ, the mystery of God, he said, it's a great mystery. He said, what's the mystery? Predestination. Predestination. He said, there's the mystery. That's it. God had it all in his mind. He had it all in his mind what he was going to do. That fall, it was predestinated. This one that can't fall, it was predestinated. Something there. Adam, predestinated. Predestinated. And when, let's see, their names was called Adam. See, he was both Adam and Eve together. And when was separated to go to the test. Huh? That's what happened. We just come here for a test. They were here for a test. That's right. What happened? And let's just be honest. Let's just be honest. This test, every one of us would fail. Is that right? Every one of us, even today, would fail. Because the flesh can't do it. They couldn't do it under the law. They lived almost a perfect life. But they could not do it 100% perfect. In this flesh, they would fail. We would fail today. That's the reason why this one is predestinated not to fail. Because it's his righteousness. It's his perfection. It's his everything. It's him doing this. It's not us. Nobody could do it. That's why if we go around looking at people and we don't see any Christians because we don't see anybody perfectly walking every way that they are, the way we think that the perfect Christian is. There's people like that now. And that's why they're miserable because they can't do it either. See, but they still think they're a Christian, but they don't see any other Christians anywhere because nobody's living up to it. Nobody's 100% perfect in their flesh. Amen. You're not and you never will be.
That's right.
And when you get that idea, you're deceived.
Yes.
You've been deceived by Satan.
Yes.
That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about eternal life that changed that soul, that brought the nature of God in you, that you don't desire those things. And your desire is to manifest him. That's your desire.
Amen.
But you still make mistakes in this flesh. You can't help it.
Amen.
If this flesh was ever going to be perfect, there would be no sickness. There would be no death. There would be no nothing.
That's right.
If this was perfect, all of that would already be gone. But it's not. And we make mistakes.
Amen.
That's why we still have in our vocabulary, I'm sorry.
Yep.
It's still here. It's going to be here right up to the end.
Amen.
I'm sorry.
Amen.
But when we go around expecting people, and when somebody makes some little thing just out of order to our thinking, and then we condemn. We criticize.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. That's not Christian.
That's right.
You might think that's Christian. It's not Christian.
Amen.
That's not the judgment that he's talking about.
Amen.
But just remember what he said about that judgment, those saints judging. He said, the way you judge is the way you will be judged.
That's right.
That's right. It'll come right back. Brother, sister, that's why the bride is crying grace. Grace, grace. That's right. That's all I want. I just want grace. I just want grace. I don't, not my merits, not my nothing. I want grace. When David had his choice, and it was bad, but God gave him three choices. I remember it was two choices or three choices. And he said, put me in the hands of David's sin. He said, put me in the hands of a merciful God. Let me, and it was still bad, but don't put me in the hands of man. Don't put me in the hands of man. As sure as Adam and Eve had to be the same spirit, Christ and the church has to be the same spirit. See, the same ministry. Huh? The same spirit, the same ministry. Whatever he is, that's what we are. Whatever he wants to do today, that's what we're doing today.
Amen.
Whatever he's moving the bride to do. What if he was walking on the earth in a veil of flesh like he did 2,000 years ago, and whatever he'd be doing, that's what he's doing through the bride. Because he's not a baby in a manger. He's not Christ on Calvary. No, because this is another day. This is another hour. He knew that day and hour. He knew he was the Word. It was so precise that when he sat in the temple and read the scripture and he come to Isaiah 61, he stopped in the middle of the second verse and he closed the book. He was so precise that he knew the Word. He knew what the Father's business was. He knew the second half of the second verse was not the Father's business today. He knew it was the Father's business for another day. He knew it was still going to be him, but he was going to be in a different veil. He was going to be in the veil of his bride. And she was going to fulfill that. It was coming for another day, another time. And so we're precise. The bride's precise. We're not manifesting the Pentecostal age.
That's right.
We know that it won't work. We know that it's death. We know that it's organized. We know that it rejected Christ.
Amen.
We know it's finished. We know it won't work. We know we have something different.
Yes,
we know it. It's got to be the same ministry. The things that I do, shall you do also. See what I mean? They had to unite together. Flesh and blood and God had to come together and be one spirit. And Jesus Christ and his church is one. That's right. Praise be to God. How can the church deny creation? How can the church deny the thing that Christ told them to do? How can we deny it? And then say that we are Christ. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask what you will. It'll be given to you. I'm the vine and you are the branches. That's right. What is the branches doing? They're bearing the fruit of the life that's in the vine.
Amen.
And I was reading a quote yesterday. Brother Branham said that the branch is the voice for the vine.
Yes, sir.
That life that's in the vine is speaking through the branch.
Yep.
And saying, and he typed it too, the prophet. That the prophet is the branch and the vine is moving through him, the spirit moving through him and making him speak. And you're the same thing.
Right.
You're the continuation of that. You're the branches and the vine, the life that's in the vine is moving the bride, revealing to her what Christ, the Father's business today. That's right. See, let me read that scripture again. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will. It'll be given to you. Why? What did we read? We read this. We've read this three times now. The same scripture. The first time we read it, and he said, he read it, and he said, why? Because he has the preeminence. Because he has the preeminence. Because you're a prisoner. Because you're yoked. Because you become one with him. You and him are one. Ask whatever you will. That's right. And, you know, if you put it in the natural and you take a child is not afraid to ask for anything that they want. And a child does not stop asking because the answer's no. Is that right? No. If your parent tells you no, then you just go on to the next thing. That's right. Somewhere Brother Branham said, or I heard a preacher say one time, God's no's are just as good as his yeses. That's right. They're just as good because he knows what we have need of.
That's right.
And that's exactly what you tell your child. No, you don't have need of that. You don't need that. That's not good for you. That could be a problem. Your child, can I go play in the road? Yeah. And they played out here. I don't know if that's a good example, but I said, you can play right here where I can see you. And they always wanted to go all the way. I said, no, right here. Just play right here where I can see you. And I said, as soon as you see a car coming, get out of the road. Get out of the road.
Amen.
God knows. He gives us the instruction that we have need of. See, and the life that's in the vine goes into the branch to bear the fruit. Fruit bears. Every limb, see, that don't bring forth good fruit is hewn off. That's right. That's the way organizations, they break it up. Get the word mixed up. See, start off like that. And one starts, and one this way, and one that way. First thing you know, a few bunch of Rickies come in. They get their idea in it. First thing you know, then it's become a big bunch of Babylon. See, he just prunes it off. Praise God.
Amen.
That's right. He just prunes it off. You think it's going somewhere? It's not going anywhere. He just prunes it off. Never did an organization ever rise but what it fail. And everyone fail never did come back again. I challenge that to anybody. Yes, sir. You know the history there. Never was one. Huh? Is that thus saith the Lord?
Amen.
That's exactly what it is. You organize, you die.
Right.
Never has an organization ever come back.
Amen.
Once you do it, you're dead.
Yeah.
God, as soon as they organize, he puts them on the shelf. And that ends it, see? He'll take a man from somewhere else, bring it right out, certainly. That's right, praise God. Notice in this now, they had to become one. Jesus said then, the life that's in him will be in his church. And here's exactly what he promised in the last days, that the life that was in Christ, that was in, will be manifested in the days that the world's in, a Sodom condition, just like it is now. See? Can't you see, brother, sister? What good does it do to join church if you haven't got Christ in your life and Christ identifying himself in your life? Brother, sister, what good is it going to do? What good is it going to do if it's not Christ? That's been the deception all the way through. People thinking by religious spirits. And the same religious spirit is right here. It's right here moving among the people. See, Christ identifying himself in your life. See, that's it. These signs shall follow them that believe. He said that. How can you say, if it's not, how can you claim to be Christ? You say, Brother Branham, how do you think you're ever going to make that stick with the people in this intellectual day when everything is a denomination? Oh, yeah. It's because he put a people on the earth that have the same nature by new birth. They have the same nature. So they have the mind of Christ. So they think just like him. I remember when I was in school, and there was this kid, there actually was a girl, and she was a real short girl, and her name was Mary. And she had a brother, and he was short too. But she was a beautiful girl, and he was a fine-looking young man. And this boy, he was a little bit younger than us. Like I said, she was in my class, but we spent a little bit of time, because one year we had summer school, and we spent summer school together, and so I got to know her a little bit. But she had a brother, and this boy was contrary to everybody and everything. Didn't matter. He was one of those guys that he disagreed with everybody about everything. It didn't matter what. And it was baffling to me, because I was just kind of laid back and didn't care, and just, you know, I was just going along, floating along, and, you know, I'm trying to think what grade. I was probably in the ninth grade, something like that. I would say probably around the ninth grade. And so he would have been in the seventh or eighth grade. And it's like, no matter what you said, this kid is disagreeing. It's like, he just, And they, I thought, I hate to go through life like that. I hate to go through life like that. But at the same time, we need a backbone. And that's the other side. That's the other side. People that have no backbone to stand for anything.
Amen.
But there's got to be something that brings us, when we hear the truth, that we stand for that. And only Christ can do that.
Amen.
Only Christ can do that. And it will make you stand, no matter what mom and daddy say, no matter what the neighbor says, no matter what your boss says, no matter what anybody else says, it'll make you stand for what's right. It'll make you stand for Christ. It'll make you stand for truth. So we're just getting back to Christ, the mystery of God revealed. And so I think I'm just going to stop right there. And so I know it's I'm letting you out a few minutes early, but I think it's a good stopping place. And that way, when I come back to this, I can just go on. But maybe I'll just leave you with this one thought here. Paragraph 191. He said, notice now, down through the ages, he has been gradually letting this out, slowly unfolding the mystery through the prophets and through the types. And now he can just go on to that and expressing himself. And then he starts with Moses and he talks about several, and we'll pick that up. But that's what he's been doing. He's just been slowly revealing himself. And as he talks about it, he says they didn't know. They didn't know what was going on. They didn't know that they were manifesting him. They didn't know they were typing him. They didn't know they were expressing him. The difference is today is that you know it.
Amen.
You know that that's what you've been put here for.
That's right.
Because he showed you now that that's what every one of them was.
Yeah.
And so you know that that's what you are too. And now you're here to bring forth the climax. You're here to manifest the promise of this day, of this hour. That's right. So we thank him and we praise him. And we know that he is true. So I'm going to ask Brother Goomba if he'll come and dismiss us this morning in a word of prayer. We have a couple brothers. I don't know if they're still on, but in India, that we just sent out the link this morning. I've been talking to them for some time. I know the mother and the father for 30, 40 years back. And anyways, the boys, they were just little boys when I first went to India. And so I think actually maybe one of them was being born during that time. So now they've grown up. The father has died. And so I seen them when I come by. They were listening in this morning. So I greet them in the name of the Lord, and we're believing that the Lord will speak to their hearts. Amen. Brother Guma. God bless you.
Thank you. Well, that was good. That was very, very good. May God bless you, Brother Don, for that. That's great for someone. Yeah, and it's very bad for people. It seems like it's gone, because it used to be like that during prophet's time, and it's still there. Are you a Christian? I make you believe that I'm a Christian, because I go to church every Sunday in my Baptist church. I'm a Baptist. I make you understand that I'm a Christian, because I'm a Methodist. I make you believe that I'm a Christian. I every Friday, that's what most of the Calvinists do. I abstain from eating meat. Every Friday, I don't eat meat. I will show you that I'm a Christian because I do that. That's what. Yeah, they identify themselves with the denominations. And those quotes were very powerful to me when it says, it's not she, it's he. It's not she, a ram, a sheep that is a she. It is the ram, he. Is he? Do you belong to he or do you belong to a church? And the prophet says in the book called, I think, is the rising of the sun. He says, I'm wondering whether people are getting people to the church or getting people to Christ. And we can also be like that, you know. That's a very sneaky demon. That's a very sneaky demon. It's very easy to say, I belong to Don's church. I'm a Christian because I belong to Don's church. Because I belong to Brother Keenan's church. Because I belong to Brother Holmes' church. Because I belong to Brother Joshua Bennett's church. That's the same thing. That's a very sneaky spirit. We are Christians because we belong to the message of this hour, which is Jesus Christ of this hour. Because he's come and he's gotten us to himself, we belong to him. That's why we are Christians. We are not Christians because we belong to him. But anyways, churches are so good. Because they come together, people come together, they worship God. We also want to hear the truth, like Brother Long has preached. We want to hear him. We want to hear him. There are churches where you don't hear him talk very much. And we can bring them. The only thing you can do is pray for them and tell them, this is Christ. I remember one time in Kenya, actually it's two times. They just give me a time to greet people. And I start there, I said, you people know me. They wanted to introduce me to say who I am and things like that. You people know me, I'm going back. And the best I can say, tell you is, it's not Ruther. It's not Wesley. It's not Pentecost. We are here. Pentecost dried and died. Oh, it's done. It's done away with. Where are we? And I say, when he says it's not Luther, it's not Wesley, it's not Pentecost, I say, don't you see, it's like saying this. One, and he says, no, let me say this. It's like saying two, four, six. What is the sequence? What is next?
That's right.
What is next? You just feel yourself. He says, Luther. He says, Wesley, what is next?
Amen.
Brother Branham, is right? No, so he's telling you, know, it's not Brother Branham. Because the husband who he was asking the bride to marry, Paul said, what is that word, Michael?
Espouse.
I've come to espouse the bride that was being espoused. The bridegroom has come. Now is the bridegroom and the bride. They're together now. I'm not there. The prophet says, I'm not there now. You see that? It's not Brother Branham. It's not Wesley. It's not that. It's Jesus Christ himself now in the bride.
Amen. Amen.
Now, that is a confusion with the people. They say, when he says the Pentecost, they feel like he's talking about the full gospel. The full gospel is Pentecost. Apostolic faith is Pentecost. Those Pentecostals, he's not talking about that. He's talking about the age. But as Brother Ron has said, Brother Ron has brought it very well. He was to be here. If you don't, I don't know how your conscience goes with that. That Jesus Christ in his coming Revelation 10, Brother Branham, the seventh messenger, was to be here. And now he's dead, and you still don't believe that he came, then something is amiss. Something missed. We missed something somewhere then. I mean, denominationalism is so bad because people of the message are now held in their small. They don't call them message believers. No. They don't call them Methodist, Baptist. They call them Ego Age. They call themselves whatever. They call them all these names. That's all right. But if they are teaching in there and not bring the message of the age that can save a person, they're just like Methodist. I'm so disappointed. But that's not right. Because God does not have two places. You got to bring the message of the hour to the people. Whether that is going to make you popular or unpopular, it doesn't matter. Just give them Christ, and it's upon Christ to do whatever he wants with the bride. The bride is his. It's not yours. The bride is not mine. The bride does not belong to the church. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The bride belongs to Jesus Christ of this hour. Praise be to God. And I'm not preaching. Let's pray. Let's pray. I didn't mean to preach, but let's pray. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for speaking. Because you've surely spoken to the hearts our people, of your people. We heard it, Lord. We heard you speak, Father. And we are blessed of that. We could say, like they said when they were walking to the mouth, didn't our heart burn within ourselves when those quotes were being read, when they were reminded of what you did and what you came to do and what you've come to do this, our Lord? Didn't our heart burn within ourselves when you spoke, Lord? We are happy, Father. We are a happy group, Father, when you spoken to us, Lord God, like that. Thank you, Father. Now, we have faith more than we did when you came this morning, Lord, that speak whatsoever you will, and Lord, it will happen. Even our minds and your minds are the same, Lord. We are so thankful for these things, Lord. Father, we commit ourselves to you. We pray, Father, that you help us to surrender more, to die to ourselves, Lord God. That your minds, Father, be in us, Lord God. Father, that when we speak, or when we think, we are just thinking like you, so that when we speak, we just speak like you, Lord. In all things, we give glory and honor in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen.